Let us open up God's holy word to the book of Romans. We'll read from Romans chapter 1, the first five verses, which really give the identity of Paul's calling and also the content of the rest of the book of Romans. Romans 1, the verses 1 to 5, are the living words of the living God. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we pray as we have read your word that you would now speak to our hearts, open our hearts that we might see the glory of you. Father, close off this world before our eyes that we might see the glory of you. And as we open our eyes into this world, we see your glory everywhere. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, we have seen in the past couple of weeks that Paul identified himself as a servant, a slave of Christ. And we have also seen that he called himself as an apostle. He is one who was sent forth by Jesus Christ into the world. But now we really come to the identity, why he was a servant, why he was an apostle. In the latter part of verse 1, we see that Paul was set apart for the gospel, the good news of God. The word set apart could also be translated as appointed to or destined to. In other words, God had stripped away every possible occupation for Paul. He had laid down everything else and he said, I'm calling you for one purpose, the gospel of God, the good news of God, the blessed message that comes from the throne of God. Paul was called in as apostle to preach the gospel. Now, what is preaching the gospel? What's the purpose of preaching the gospel? Well, Paul tells us in verse 5, it's to make faithful followers of God. Verse 5 reads this way, through whom, that is Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about, that is for the purpose of, the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Paul was set apart by God for the proclamation of the gospel so that there would become an obedience of faith. In other words, Paul was to preach so in such a way that the eyes of the people were opened and they would begin to believe and follow God, follow Jesus. Paul was sent into the world to declare the good news from God, which would result in people coming to faith. That is, they would come to a conviction that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and the rest of their lives, they would be followers of Jesus Christ. Preaching is always God speaking to people through the preacher or through the apostle here in this case, so that people would hear the voice of God and begin to follow Jesus Christ. Paul tells us then that there were two things that he was to preach, which was already foretold in the scriptures. First of all, Jesus Christ is a descendant from David. And secondly, Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, Paul was to preach that Jesus is the promised Messiah in all the Old Testament passages, and that he also was the Son of God who had conquered sin and death. And anyone who would follow him would walk in that same life. As a result of this preaching, people would come to faith, which, like Abraham's faith, would make them followers of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul's calling is very different from the other religions of his time or the other religions of our day today. It's not join a certain group and have a certain set of rules and dress like a certain way and do certain things. No, Paul said, when I preach, people would see Jesus Christ and follow him. A real living relationship with the Son of God and with God himself. What a holy moment. What a glorious reality is it, isn't it? When we open the Word of God, He speaks to us. We're not reading this to see how we should kind of change our life or how we identify to each other. No, we read this Word and God speaks to us. The book of Romans is God speaking to us. God's actual voice by the Holy Spirit coming into our eyes and into our ears. Even this morning, as we gather in His presence, we come face to face with the Almighty through His words. This is holy ground. Romans 1 verse 5 is really the entirety of the book of Romans in a nutshell. And the more we know it, the better we will hear the voice of God. And so we will ask four questions, as you can find in your bulletin, and we'll start with the first one. What does it mean that Jesus was descended from David? Well, the obvious answer is that Jesus was a king, or that David was a king, and Jesus was the descendant of this David. But what? Why would you preach that? I mean, there were many descendants from David. As a matter of fact, there was a whole family line of descendants from David. What Paul is saying is Jesus was not only a descendant from David, He was the descendant from David. Jesus was the son that God promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is what we read, and just listen from verse 12. When your days are fulfilled, He is speaking to David, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. That is, David, after you die, I will bring forth one of your children. And this is what He promises. Who shall come from your body, and I will establish His kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. And David hears this, and he says this in verse 18 to 19. Then King David went in and said before the Lord. You see him? He is overwhelmed. He's sitting down in the presence of God over the words that he has just heard. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God." You see what David is saying? He's saying, "My kingdom is but a small thing that has been given to me. But what you promise here is not just for me. It's for mankind. This king that will come out of my loins, out of my offspring, is for mankind." David recognizes that the offspring of God, that God promises him, is not just for him or for the Israelites. It's for the instruction, the word that comes here from Torah, from the law, for mankind. This was a word for mankind. Jesus is the King of kings for mankind. Paul was to proclaim that the offspring of David has come. Jesus Christ is the offspring of God, and God has kept His promise to David to bring a king that would be the king over mankind. Now, Jesus is not only the offspring of David, He's also the offspring of Judah. We read in Genesis 49, verse 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." Another word for nations. In other words, Jesus is the king out of David, but also the king over all the nations. But He is also the offspring of Abraham. Jesus was promised in Genesis 12, verse 7. "Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring,'" singular, "I will give this land," and not just the land of Israel, the land of the entire world. Jesus is the offspring of Abraham through David, the offspring that would receive the promised land. Not only that, in David and Abraham, Jesus is the offspring of Shem, who was the blessed, of whom it was said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." But not only that, He was the offspring of Adam and Eve. Jesus was promised that He would crush Satan. Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." what Paul was to preach into the world was that Jesus Christ would be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one in whom all the nations would be blessed, the one who would rule forever and ever. This Jesus who came to the world, that died upon the cross, is in fact the King that brings the salvation for all his people. This is the good news of God. The King has come that brings his people to God. The doors of the kingdom is wide open this morning. And so Paul would go around the land and around the known world of his time, and he would proclaim this message: Jesus Christ is the one whom God has sent into the world so that if you would believe in him, you would become part of the people of God himself. And as he spoke, people's ears would open up and they would see the truth of what Paul said, and they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. We read in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this." Paul was sent into the world to preach who Jesus was, that he was the Lord who would finally be a leader of his people that would bring peace, everlasting peace. But he was not only man, he was God himself, the King of Peace. So that's what it means that he was the descendant of David. Well, what does it mean that he is the Son of God? Well, Romans 1, verse 3 to 4 says this: "Concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead." Jesus became the descendant from David according to the flesh when he was born, but he didn't become the Son of God when he was born. He was declared to be the Son of God. Jesus that came into the world had always been the Son of God. He was simply declared to be, in other words, revealed to be the Son of God when he resurrected from the dead. This man that we read of in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, and Paul was saying this man that you've heard of doing many miracles in this world was not only the Son of David, he was the Son of God himself. He was God coming in the flesh. The resurrection declared Jesus to be the Son of God as the King of the Messiah forever. Acts 2 verse 37, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Jesus was killed by men, but God raised him from the dead. Jesus' resurrection declared him to be the Son of God. Now, what does all of that mean? Jesus is the Son of David. Jesus is the Son of God. Well, it means this. As Paul preached it, he says, Jesus is a man like you. He was born flesh and blood like you. In that way, he can become next to you. He can bring you in. He became a man to take your place in the judgment of God. When he went upon the cross, you know who should have been there on the cross? You should have been there. That was your destiny, to hang there on the cross and to be judged forever and ever and ever. You deserve to die for your sins. Every word you've ever spoken that was not right, or that an intention of evil, everything you ever done with your hands that was wrong, with your feet that was wrong, with your heart that was wrong, with your mind, your eyes, everything you've ever done wrong, you deserve the eternal death penalty. But God sent his Son for you. And he said, "Let you be taken off the cross. Let that judgment be placed upon me." And instead of you going to the cross, Jesus Christ was placed upon the cross and he was killed. Not only that, the Bible tells us that God put your judgment upon Jesus Christ. He swallowed up the entirety of the wrath of God that you and I deserved. And as he hung there upon the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus became a man in your place. But how could he bridge the place between you and God? Well, Paul said Jesus was not only the son of David, he was also the son of God. And as he died there upon the cross, and as he received the full force of God's wrath, he died and he was laid in a tomb. But death could not hold him because he was the son of God. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving him to be the son of God. Which means that if you believe in him, that you would die with Jesus Christ upon the cross. You were laid in a tomb. You're dead. But you were also resurrected to newness of life. Because Jesus is both man and God. So that if you believe in Jesus Christ, even though you have died with Christ upon the cross, you live in a newness of life by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you now walk in newness of life. Jesus Christ. Resurrection shows that he was the one sent from God, God of very God, so that all who call upon the name of Jesus would be resurrected from spiritual deadness in this life here on earth. And as Paul preached this message into the world, do you know what happened? People that were dead in their sin, that were stuck in their addictions, that were blind to what is right and love the things of evil, people whose hearts was pride and arrogant and hypocritical, when Paul began to preach, this beautiful, glorious message broke into their heart and began to shine a light in the midst of their heart. And they realized, I'm a dead man walking. I am spiritually dead. I have a facade of Christianity, or I have a facade of religion at that time. I have a pretense of following God, but it's all fake. It's just like a little mask that I'm putting on, but inside there is a dark, dead heart. And as Paul was preaching on the deadness of their sin, they would realize, that is me. I need to die. But then when Paul began to preach that Jesus Christ died their death, they realized, then what am I to do if my death has died? And then Paul would preach that the resurrection was now to bring them to life. And as they heard that and they saw Jesus Christ as Paul was preaching, they could see it with their own eyes by faith, Jesus dying upon the cross, being laid in the tomb and resurrected on the third day. As they saw it, they realized, that is me there upon the cross. That is me there in the tomb. And behold, I live a new life through Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was set apart. He was set apart from everything small and insignificant to the only thing that at the end of our life really matters. That Jesus Christ lives in my heart and has raised me out of the deadness of my sin, so that I walk in a new life. Now, all that the apostle ever did was to point to Jesus Christ. That's all he ever did. That was his message in life, his purpose in life, to point to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that is the only hope for the people that would hear him. If he would not point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he would tell them, you just got to live better lives, they would die and go to hell. But if he would point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh yes, some people would reject him and be ready to pick up stones and kill him. Because they said, I don't want you to shine that light upon my heart. I like my sin and I want to stay in it. I love that secret life that I live in my heart and in my mind. I like that sin inside of me and I don't want it to be exposed, and I'm going to protect it. I like my pride and my arrogance. Don't shine the light. People would push Paul away, but to some other people, the light would burst right through the front door of their minds and their hearts. And as they saw the wickedness of their heart, they were immediately persuaded by the Spirit of God that there be nothing else for them to die and to come to a new life. That was the message of the book of Romans. That's the message of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's the message of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon all have one purpose: to point you to Jesus Christ. So you come to know him and you follow him. That's life. If you need to explain what is Christianity, well, it's this. It's telling dead people that there is a risen Savior, and then once they know the risen Savior, it's for them to follow him until they die and then ever be in his presence for all eternity. Paul is a man set apart for the gospel of God. So I need to ask this question: has the gospel of God reached your heart? Has it changed your heart? Has it shined a light upon your sin? You see, Paul was not making them sinful. He was just declaring the truth. He was just telling people to look in the mirror. He was as the mirror, showing them their own dark, hypocritical hearts. And as they saw them, those people that would have open eyes would see the truth about their heart. And they realized that I could fake it before all the people, but I cannot fake it before God. He sees my heart. He knows who I am. That's terrifying, isn't it? Without Christ, it is a terrifying thing to know that God knows my heart. But as Paul preached the good news that Jesus Christ came to cleanse those bad hearts, they were washed. Have you been washed? Has your heart been cleansed? Have you been honestly dealt with God? Have you heard the good news of Jesus Christ? And has that good news not just gone into your ears, but penetrated into your heart, so that now you can truly sing, "Be thou my vision. Riches I heed not, nor men's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always." That's the power of the gospel, isn't it? You see, you think you're rich into this world. You think you're gathering up riches, and then you see one sight upon Christ and everything turns into dung for having Christ. Well, what is this obedience of faith that Paul was called to preach? Well, Paul, I want to give you a little bit of a background so that you know what obedience of faith is, because I think we often misunderstand it. When I grew up as a little boy — this is not the Apostle Paul here, this is my testimony — when I grew up as a little boy, I thought the obedience meant I need to do these things, and the better I do this, the more God is pleased with me. That's not the obedience of faith. You see, Paul, the apostle, grew up in a Jewish home. He became a Jewish Pharisee and had memorized the law of Moses. All he never knew about obedience was obedience that comes through the law. I look at the law and I'm trying to do the law. The diligent pursuit of doing the law of Moses. Paul grew up with the instructions of the Torah, and that was the way that he learned obedience. Do not murder. I do not murder. I have learned what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to murder. Now I'm obedient. But then there was a problem in Paul's heart, which he describes in Romans 7, verse 10 and 11. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. Paul realized that the law that he was reading, that was supposed to make him obedient, killed him. Killed him. You know why? It says, do not covet, and the more he thought about not coveting, the more he started coveting. If you try to not lust after another woman, and all day long you ride upon, you have glasses that says, do not lust, guess what? Every woman that walks by, you're thinking about lust, and then do not lust. You're thinking about lust, do not lust. It's not obedience, because the heart is the problem, isn't it? You can try to stop the evil when it's just about running about the gate, but it's already in your backyard. We need to find a way to cleanse the inner man, to cleanse the heart, Otherwise, you just become hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of the cup, but not the inside of the cup. Paul was to preach a message that would cleanse the inside of the cup so that the outside of the cup would become clean. Paul, as he was trying to be obedient through the law, was stopped in his tracks by Jesus Christ, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. Jesus Christ turned his life around, and he went from a Pharisee to a child of Abraham, a man of faith. We'll see that in the book of Romans as we'll read through it. Jesus called him from heaven and set him on a new path. Paul was set free from his inability to do the will of God, not by changing the law externally, but by transforming the heart of Paul through faith. Faith. If you struggle with lust this morning, if you struggle with pride this morning, if you're a gossiper, the problem is not that you don't know it with your ears. The problem is that faith by the Holy Spirit has not cleansed the heart. It must be changed from within before you become externally clean. Through faith, the Holy Spirit set Paul free from these sins so that he no longer walked in sin as he did before. Acts 26:17 to 18 is Paul's call. This is what God tells Paul. Jesus tells him, I'm sending you to open their eyes. To open their eyes. What does that mean? Does Paul go around with a special machine that clicks open both eyes all the time, where people just walking with their eyes closed? No, he's speaking about the eyes of their heart. He's saying they're spiritually blind, but I'm going to you there as Jesus touched people's eyes and their eyes could see. So Paul, I'm sending you to touch the hearts of the people by the gospel of God and open their eyes. In other words, to have faith and see God, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See that? Paul was to turn people from darkness to light. And Paul said, that's what I've always done. Because I'm bringing the law before the people. And I would expand and say, read this law. Here, this is the law. Why didn't you do it? I'm going to kill you if you don't do it. And Jesus called them. He realized they were all still in darkness because they had no faith as their forefather Abraham had faith. And so God sends Paul into the world to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has saved them, he has justified them by the Holy Spirit. He will sanctify them and he will glorify them. In other words, Paul preached the obedience of faith. Listen to this. That they may receive forgiveness of sins, completely cleansed, and a place among those who are sanctified by me. You know what sanctified means? To be made holy. In other words, Paul was to preach the gospel so that they would not become mere readers of the will of God. Hey, this is the law. This is what I should be doing, and even though my heart is against it. No, God would preach to the Apostle Paul so that their hearts would be changed. Faith doesn't change the outside. It changes the inside. It changes the heart. You see, if you have children, the longer you walk with your children, the more they become like you. Right? When you raise your children, every word for the first couple of years of their life, you have taught them those words. If you live in Australia, your children will not have a Texan accent. They will have an Australian accent because they learn to speak like you. Why is that? Because they see you, they hear you, and so they imitate you. That's how faith works, doesn't it? We see Christ by faith, we hear Christ by faith, and so we begin to speak like Christ by faith because we see him and we hear him. Our inside is changed. What a joyful news. For years, I tried to change my heart. I tried and I tried. And I tried. And I was saying, it doesn't help when you say to yourself 10 times a day, don't lust, you're still going to lust. That was me. I was walking all day long trying to place laws here and there in front of me. I was constantly trying to bring my Bible in my hand because I thought if I had my Bible in my hand, I won't sin because I know the physical touch. I know I have a Bible in my hand. How can I disobey the God of the Bible? I would go into the snow for hours in a proverb and it said, be patient. And I would walk for 2 hours in the snow in Finland saying, be patient, be patient, be patient. Cried out to God and said, God, make me patient. I want to be patient. Like, tell me, teach me to be patient, because it says to be patient. As soon as I was home, I was impatient. I tried and I tried. I separated myself. I tried and I tried and I tried. And it never worked. You know why? Because Paul was a wicked, unbelieving man. The heart was dark. And so I could never clean the outside. Now I kind of found ways to pretend to be clean. I don't know if you've done that or if you're doing that. To pretend to be clean. Yes, it's very easy when you're outside for an hour a day and you meet other people to act holy. You can even do it the Christian way. You can act humble and meek. Problem, of course, is when you get married and you don't get a break. How are you going to do that? It's easy when you live alone, because then you can just take a break and just go rest from your holiness. But what Paul preached is different. Paul didn't preach a pretending. As Paul preached the good news of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead came with resurrection power in the hearts of the people and made them to be like Christ. Paul writes about this, doesn't he? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ living inside of you. That's the gospel. That's the fruit of the gospel. That's what God's word does in our hearts. That's when you know you have heard the gospel, when he lives inside of us. Then we're set free from the bonds of wickedness. We walk in a new way. Paul describes it as we were children of darkness, now we're children of the light. It's not we pretend to be different, we are different. Wherever Paul preached the good news, people were radically changed. Isn't that amazing? Radically changed from the inside out. The proud and arrogant man became a humble servant of Christ. The gossiper became one who loves and speaks kindly. The proud became the servant of all. Why is that? The heart of Christ was planted in the hearts of these men. They were no longer in the darkness of sin and death, but they were raised to a newness of life. That's glorious, isn't it? We don't need to make the gospel sound as though, well, if you preach the gospel, physically everything will be wonderful. You're never going to be sick. You're going to be always have plenty of money. All your children will marry to the right people and you'll have wonderful grandchildren. All of them always have a smile on their face. That's fake. You know why? Because we live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen world. And as a Christian, God even uses that fallen world to make us more pure within, so that we'll shine more brightly in heaven. The true gospel is far more glorious than temporary happiness on the outside. The true gospel is this, a liberation from my heart, from the sin that kills me. I rather be a person with terminal cancer that has Christ living in my heart than a 25-year-old that has promised 75 years in strength of life that has no Christ in his heart. Because all his life he will be unhappy. He can put a fake smile on, but he knows he is a prisoner of sin. The person with terminal cancer that has Christ living in their heart is truly free through Jesus Christ. He walks with God. This was the calling of the Apostle Paul. My dear friends, have you been brought out of darkness into this marvelous light? I'm not saying if from one day to the next your face changed. I'm not saying if your whole personality changed. What I'm saying is this: have you been set free from a prisoner of sin to a person that walks in the joyful obedience to Jesus Christ, the obedience of faith? Do you walk with Jesus? Do you walk with Jesus? I'm not asking you if you had a lot of tears or joys or hands up or down or all the rest. But have you come to know Jesus Christ, and do you walk with him? There is no greater joy in this life. You can have it all, but if you don't have Christ, you have nothing at all. You know, the amazing thing is, there are people on the backside of the desert in Africa that have Christ living in their heart that are more rich than Elon Musk and all the other billionaires of this country that don't have Christ together. They are poor because they don't have Christ, while this poor person that may not be able to feed himself or give himself a water is more rich because he has the Son of God living in his heart. And I don't mind where you come from. I don't mind how long you've been in church or outside of church. I don't mind what you have done when you were young, however wicked you've been. I don't mind if you've been 10 years in prison for terrible sinful acts. But what I wonder is this: do you have Christ living in your heart? Because if you believe in Christ, all your sin is washed away, and you walk in a newness of life. If you listen to the good news of God, you must listen. But if you listen, you can hear God speak to your heart. He's dealing with your soul. If he does it this morning, if he is speaking to your heart, and he is opening the wound, and he is saying, you're a hypocrite, you're a pretender, it's not God seeking to hurt you, it's him seeking to cleanse and heal you. It's him seeking to plant his Holy Spirit in your heart and set you free from your bondage of sin. It's him coming to you in grace and love and mercy. Don't close the door. Turn to him. You'll live here, and you'll receive the obedience that comes from faith. Which brings me to my last point. What is the great purpose of all of this? Why do we need to come to an obedience of faith? Well, it's not just that that is the joyful life and the rich life in this world. But Romans 1 verse 5 says, for the sake of his name among all the nations. The ultimate purpose of Paul and the gospel, and this is why he carried it with such fear and holiness and weight and glory. Paul was sent out into the world to make people turn to Christ by the Holy Spirit so that they would turn to God and give him the glory. Paul was a man given over, addicted to, or whatever word we should, possessed with a desire to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Mankind was created for the glory of God, but we turned into sin and we fell, and we were destroying the glory of God. We were insulting the glory of God because we were created in his image and we're running the wrong way. Our hearts are bent on a different way. So we became a people without purpose, without meaning. Israel was called to be a nation for the glory of God, but they couldn't do it because they had a heart just like us. And so they again and again failed God. But now at last, through the offspring of David, God has brought forth his own son who raises a people that love God, that live for his glory, that are possessed with a desire to do the will of God and bring him glory. A people of faith that fulfill the will of God through power. The name of God in this world by mankind is glorified in only one way, through the obedience of faith. By you seeing Christ through faith, through the gospel, and following him, that's how you glorify God. I've often had difficulties with this term, glorifying God. Does it mean I need to raise my hand up when I sing? Does it mean I need to sing louder? Does it mean I need to, what if I can't sing? What if I have nothing? What if I have the smallest gift? Can I glorify God less? No. Glorifying God is living by faith, seeing him and trusting him and following him. And when we follow him by faith, then everything we do becomes glorifying God. If you have faith in your heart and you serve God and you sing here this morning, you're glorifying God, not just because of the voices that you have and the words that you sing, but because of the heart that trusts God. Everything becomes glorifying to God. God is glorified, his name is praised when we love him from our hearts. And we follow him out of love and out of faith from the bottom of our heart. Think about this. When Satan tempted Eve, Eve was glorifying God until that moment. And then she turned the glory from God to Satan because she no longer obeyed God, but she obeyed Satan. So she stopped glorifying God at that moment and glorified Satan's words. How do you think we come back? By repenting from that and turning back to God and following him by faith. You see, you can be a widow of 95, 97 years old and think, I can't go into the world and proclaim the gospel in some far unknown tongue. I don't have that energy and strength. How can I glorify God? You live by faith. You fix your heart and eyes upon the gospel. You trust in the Lord. You fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do whatever he tells you. You read his word. You fill your heart with a desire for God as you read his word and your heart is transformed. And everything you do, from your sleeping to your eating to your walking, is glorifying to God. It shows to Satan that you are not worthy to be followed. You are worthy to be disobeyed and to be rejected and hated. And God is worthy to be followed, loved, and glorified. You're glorifying God. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus was sent into the world, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, to fulfill all the promises. But ultimately, when we all bring it to our day, it's the promises that bring you and me from the deadness of sin to living a life of glorifying God as we walk by faith. That's the good news. Has it touched your heart? Have you become from a person that is outside of God to a person that follows Jesus Christ? You love him? Has your heart been opened, transformed, and now, however simple we are, because at the end of the day, we're all simple human beings, we follow Christ by faith. Simple, isn't it? So simple. It's not some complicated, I need to create a great something to worship God. No, no, no. We worship God by having faith in him. By faith in what Jesus has done for us. The moment we believe in Jesus, we are righteous before God. Nothing can be added. I can walk into the presence of God by prayer at any moment and be received as Jesus himself because I am clothed with the righteousness of Christ. I can read the Bible and know God is speaking to me. This is not just general. for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son. When I believe in him, I would not perish, but I would have everlasting life. If you follow Christ, you should rejoice while you're in this world, because you will rejoice forever after this world. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, who is worthy of these things? And yet, Lord, in you becoming man, you have revealed to us the heart of God, mercy and love and grace. Oh, Father, I pray that everyone here that has heard this message will be of those happy people that turn to Christ for life and flee the wrath of God forever. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would stir us all up, whether we have been walking with you since today or for a long time, that we would rejoice in the glorious gospel of you, your Son, is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Be thou our vision. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.